God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe, created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings of this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his new kingdom. Sorry if I seem distracted. It just happened again. God is amazing. It just happened again. Randy can be my witness. We have a massive amount of audio laid out for this program. It's sitting right here in front of me. It's not a teleprompter or anything like that. It's simply the audio we're going to play in connection with the news of the day. And God just stepped and said, yeah, don't talk about any of that stuff. I was listening this morning to one of my favorite pastors. And he is a pastor, I think it's in Chicago. And Christ Bible Church in Chicago. And he said something about the fifth gospel. James Ford is his name, Treasured Truth. And when I heard this, I thought, wait, you are inventing a fifth gospel. A fifth gospel. And it really drew my attention. And then God just spoke and said, yeah, it's the gospel you're writing. This is a remarkable thing to think about. I've said in the program before that we are all, if you have any influence over anybody at all, you are making disciples of something. And discipling is to follow. You could be creating a family of boys who are discipled into college football. Girls who are discipled into volleyball. I know I'm being cliched. You could be creating a family that's discipled into the history of rock and roll music. You're also writing a gospel, unless you're not. Unless you're fully focused on the gospel. The gospel. It's redemption available through Jesus Christ, having come to die for us. It's propitiation for our sins, a debt we can't pay that he did. But people construct their own gospels. You know what? I'm really comfortable with what Jesus said, but that thing about, not lying. I can't afford these taxes. I'm going to lie. That would be writing your own gospel, wouldn't it? The world's busily writing its own gospel. And we who follow the Lord Jesus sometimes lapse, particularly those of us who've been given the responsibility of having any influence. I think the last thing the enemy wants is us living in pure abidance with the Lord Jesus. I'd heard from a pastor once that prior to having a huge breakthrough, prior to the Lord Jesus releasing you to work really on something big with him, you're going to be tested like you've never been tested. And the enemy is going to attack you like you've never been attacked. I have to tell you that I've really been wrestling with some things. One day I'll tell you the full tale. One day. And I was up against the wall yesterday. And when I say that, I mean physically up against the wall. And what the Lord showed me is, hey, I'm going to make it impossible for you to be okay doing anything other than following me. I'm going to take your breath away. I will take from you the thing you think that you really, really need. I'll show you. I can force you. I can force you on your knees. I can force you. It was an overwhelming sense of, I don't want to do this, but I have to. And then he relented. And he said, look. Look with fresh eyes. Look at where your focus has been. It's not been on me. Now, I'm not saying that there's some big assignment coming from the Lord. In my case, I'm saying that I was writing my own gospel. And God came for me. I wasn't in a hurricane. I wasn't recovering from a hurricane or the ruins of a hurricane that so many people are, and may God be with them. It was a hurricane in some ways of my own making. And again, one day I'll tell you the full tale. I just need to figure out how to do that. This just happened. So I hope that you're not writing your own gospel. See, we're living in a world that's so very fond of beautiful lies. And I say beautiful ones. Sometimes they're stealth, and but they have to be beautiful, elegant lies. Sometimes they invent new words for those lies. Transgenderism is a new word. What a beautiful lie. You can design your own body. You do not need to be male or female. What a beautiful lie for many people. Then there's, of course, the just blatantly political. Just blatant political. 60 Minutes, you know, when they decided to help Kamala Harris by editing out her utter random word gibberish the other day, talking about the war in Israel, the war that you've been funding both sides of, the war in which we've now released troops into Israel, that should be getting more attention. We are putting troops into Israel along with weapons systems, even though we're funding both sides of that war. Our boys, well, men, women, if God forbid they're killed, it might be with missiles you bought. That's a question you might ask. Do you guys see yourselves? Like J.D. Vance said to Martha Raddatz, do you hear yourself? So Mike Johnson, Speaker Johnson, sat down for an interview with CBS. CBS is the parent company that runs 60 Minutes. And listen to Fox News cover how CBS cut out large chunks of their interview with Speaker Mike Johnson.
I assure you.
So Speaker Johnson, I texted him, just asked him about that exchange last night, and he said, did you see CBS? And I said, no. So I put on Face the Nation. He says they edited his video. He says he'll never agree to it again.
Wow, just like 60 Minutes.
He says they edited. He goes, on Face the Nation, it was even more direct, but they edited it out. He goes, I did the interview to make, they made Kamala look better. They edited my video to try to make me look less effective. I will never agree to a non-live interview with CBS again.
Journalistic malpractice. It's 60 Minutes did it. The flash, flash, flash. The
CBS again.
And yep, we know they edit videos because we've seen it last week what they did to Kamala. Completely took a question and latched into another answer. I don't know if that was ever okay in media.
But to the speaker's point, Brian, that's why he will never do anything that is not live. That's why that's the problem for us. We do everything live. Mm-hmm. We would like to fix stuff.
You remember Trump said that you know you're good when they take your long answer and they have to edit you down.
That's
versus
right.
Kamala, they have to edit her up.
So if Speaker Johnson hadn't filmed his answers and posted them unedited, you wouldn't have noticed this sneaky cut CBS made to avoid showing that Mike Johnson was in North Carolina helping hurricane victims.
So that's a different accounting than this 2% you say was distributed.
Yeah, so they've obligated some funds, but they've only distributed 2%. The rescue and recovery effort's still going on, and then we address the rest of it.
So that's a different accounting than this 2% you say was distributed.
Yeah, so they've obligated some funds, but they've only distributed 2%. And when I was there on the ground, and you should go, I mean, bring the cameras and talk to the people there. They'll tell you, don't take politicians' words for this or the administration's word. Talk to the people there on the ground. They had not been provided the resources almost 2 weeks out from the storm that they desperately needed. And when I was there, 13 days post the storm hitting that state, people are still being rescued. They're stuck in the higher elevations in the mountains because the roads are down and all the rest. So they need every available resource and all hands on deck. The rescue and recovery effort's still going on. And then we address the rest of it.
And if Speaker Johnson hadn't filmed his answers and posted them unedited, you would notice this. CBS also cut out Mike Johnson mentioning Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who's trying to clean the state's voter rolls so non-American citizens can't vote there.
You know that it is against the law for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. That's established law.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But here's the problem. There's a number of states that are not requiring proof of citizenship when illegals or non-citizens register to vote. We know that's happening.
But respectfully, Speaker,
everybody should want the law to be followed.
You know that it is against the law for non-citizens to vote in federal elections. That's established law.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But here's the problem. There's a number of states that are not requiring proof of citizenship when illegals or non-citizens register to vote. We know that's happening. Look, Glenn Youngkin in Virginia, I was going to say, he issued an executive order to clean up their voting rolls heading into the election. Less than 30 days out, a couple of days ago, the Biden administration, Department of Justice, Biden-Harris administration, sued the governor in the state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, to try to prevent them from cleaning up their voter rolls. See, that kind of thing creates a lot of doubt and concern in the minds of a lot of the American people. Why would they do that? Everybody should want the law to be followed. Yeah.
And one other thing. CBS completely cut out a full minute of Mike Johnson talking about the many different efforts used by Democrats to get millions of illegal aliens into the country and voting in our elections.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. It's not me undermining it. It's the actions of the Biden-Harris administration in some of these states. Non-citizens are not allowed to vote under federal law.
So if your issue is with certain governors, shouldn't you be talking to them?
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. It's not me undermining it. It's the actions of the Biden-Harris administration in some of these states. Non-citizens are not allowed to vote under federal law. But the states have prohibited. We passed the SAVE Act, you know, in the House. The SAVE Act says you've got to have proof of citizenship before you register to vote. And Chuck Schumer and the Democrats blocked that in the Senate. We could have prevented this. The questions that people have about that. But the Democrats chose not to. They opened the border wide. A lot of people theorize that that was so that they could have non-citizens to vote. These are realities, Margaret. I wish it weren't true, but that's the concern that people have. And you know, in Wisconsin, for example, some of the counties are... It is law, but we... That's correct, but we have to make sure the law is followed, and that is the whole point. That has always been the whole point of the SAVE Act and all the measures that we've tried to ensure. I believe, by my count, we have about 16 million illegal aliens in the country since Mayorkas and Harris and Biden opened the border wide, and because of that, there's concern, because those people are distributed all around the country, as you know. There's concern some of those people will try to participate in the elections. Look, some of our House races, I believe the Republicans are going to win the House, grow the House majority, win the Senate and the White House. But in some of our House races, I mean, I have a colleague who was elected by 6 votes in 2020. Some of these are decided by hundreds or a few thousands of votes. So if you have non-citizens participating against the law and you have no mechanism in some states to stop it, that is the root of so much of the concern. And of course, you know, in California, they have ballot harvesting, right? Ballot harvesting is notorious for opening the door for fraud. In Wisconsin, they're going to put, in some counties, unmanned ballot boxes in public parks again.
So none of that made it onto CBS. Now, CBS's producers could say, look, it's a time constraint. They could say, hey, look, Disciples View, you can't air all of our stuff. No. But the selective editing doesn't need to be the case. You could have an every CBS News program, hear the entire conversation. You could say these are excerpts. You could say we sat down with Speaker Mike Johnson for 90 minutes. Here's 15 minutes of the conversation. You could say that. I do this all the time on my podcast because I talk about things that, well, get me in trouble with YouTube. And we have to be on YouTube. I hate it, but we have to be there. It's youtube.com/@the Todd Herman Show. So I have a free speech platform. This... Only rule here is follow the word of God. Follow the word of God. Be biblically strict, as we all should be. So I get to do that here. And also I have a Substack page. It's thetoddhermanshow.substack.com, where I can delve into things that YouTube won't allow. And I reference that on my program. CBS could do the same thing. See the whole interview, all 90 minutes, at cbs.com, whatever. But they won't. We'll come back with yet another heretical pastor. Oh, and also Phil Vasher, probably Vischer from VeggieTales, he violated his own rule against the culture wars. Talk about that next. I'm Todd Herman. This is... Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I appreciate you being part of the AFR family. We have an audience of one. No offense. We see you as family. At least I do. I shouldn't speak for other people. I see you as radio family. And we see God as the audience that we are bound to try to please here. And that's the mission of AFR. And it's a great freedom, actually, just to understand. No offense. Again, we're not seeking human approval. We're seeking the approval of God, man. And when you start seeking human approval, boy, it can sneak up on you. You can step back and examine the past few X amount of months of your life and go, wow, I've really been seeking human approval. So much in the Word of God. Oh, by the way, one of the things the enemy wants to do is keep you out of the Word of God. So he'll tell you things like, hey, you're going to read in there things that confront what you're wanting to do. So maybe don't read that, but read it anyway. If your enemy doesn't want you to do something, do it. There's a reason they don't want you to do it. I've been really, I guess, fascinated by the degree to which people are willing to go to falsify the gospel and the need to do that. And it is a deep, deep, deep need. Sometimes our needs are so intense that we want to build ways to act upon them that we ought not. So we'll falsify, we'll cheat internally. Many years ago, and this is long before I met my wife, but many, many years ago, I got to know a woman who was in an at the time, deeply unhappy marriage, really dysfunctional. And she's a very attractive woman, very smart. She and I had a lot in common. We worked together. And you know how this goes, right? It always goes the same way. So we went out to lunch once, just talked business and laughed, made some jokes, found out we have a lot in common. And so then we did some work together, and then one night we went out to dinner and we laughed and found out we had a lot of things in common. And then we kind of like worked less and got together and had lunch a lot. And then I left that place at work, she left hers, so we were no longer working in the same place. But her workplace was just up the street from me, and just as friends, we got together a lot. Now, she was married, I was not. And I was aware, obviously, she was married. And everything in me told me, you're not going to go have an affair with a married woman. And I didn't. Thank God I didn't. But man, we had lunch a lot. And one day, she said, hey, my sister's coming over. I'd like you to meet my sister. Let's go out to dinner and go dancing together with my husband and you. And I thought, wow, okay, that's going to be weird. And her sister. So we did. And we went out dancing and ate dinner. And I don't dance. And her husband didn't dance. And neither of us were that comfortable dancing. But we also weren't comfortable around each other. So we kind of stood around on the dance floor and did the dude move. And I noticed that he didn't like his wife very much. He derided her intelligence. At dinner, he called her stupid twice. You are so stupid. And man, it broke my heart. It just broke my heart. And I didn't say anything. It was not my place. But man, I wanted to say something. And afterwards, her sister and I went out. So we went around downtown Spokane and hung out and talked. And there was, you know, no attraction there. She was unmarried. I was unmarried. But there was no attraction. We didn't see things eye to eye. There was just no chemistry. I know that's very banal and superficial. But she said this to me. We were parked outside her sister's house, just talking. And she said, so how long have you and my sister been in love? Oh, well, what are you talking about? We're not in love. We're friends. She goes, no, you're not. She said, I'm not saying anything's going on. My sister would have told me. But you guys are clearly in love. What? Todd, are you blind? It's thick between you. So this was a big eye-opener. You can see this? We went out to lunch because I was moving. And so we went out to one last lunch. And again, I never once touched this woman. I'm not saying that makes it better. I understand that an affair of the mind is an affair. Never touched her. Out to lunch. We're wrapping up lunch and she says, "How am I ever going to convince my husband to let me come visit you?" Well, you're not. That's never going to happen. Wow. This is goodbye. Yeah. Years later, we got in touch with each other. And she told me, "I am so blessed. We were really in a rough patch. And my marriage has been so blessed. And we were so close. And we're so happy. And I'm so thankful that you left." I said, "I am too. We could have made a huge mistake." But she'd manufactured in her mind, well, my husband let me go visit this guy. I'd manufactured in my mind, it's just lunch. And I twisted all that. So I'm amazed that people who are reverends, people who are pastors, can twist things this way. But why should I be abased? A title and an education does not make you unattractive to Satan. It makes you more attractive. It puts a bigger target on your head. At the time I was describing, which is 25 years ago, or I just described it 25 years ago, I did not know the Lord. I certainly was not discipled. Anything like that, did know the Lord. So Satan doesn't care. I was not a target. Pastors are, reverends are. This is a guy I want you to hear from who's going to great lengths to falsify the gospel. His name is Reverend Juan Lee of First United Church. He says, "Hell isn't real, and only narrow-minded people think Jesus warning us about hell is to be taken seriously.
Such places where things stand opposed to God's will can be described as hell. There were places designed specifically to strip away the divine image from every human being. What is hell, and where is it? Hell is a profound symbol of separation from God. In today's gospel reading, we hear a very vivid and violent message from Jesus. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great milestone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. How can we approach the violent languages of Jesus? If our ignorance, our failures and mistakes, and our narrow understanding of the gospel cause others to stumble, something seriously bad happens."
So he's speaking of hell as allegory, allegorical. And again, a really easy test, and I would ask this of the reverend, is love allegorical? Jesus spoke of hell, he spoke of money, he spoke of the church. Is the church an allegory? Well, no, we can physically see it. Okay. Did God tell us? Did the Lord Jesus tell us, "You have seen, so you have believed, Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." The Lord told us to believe in things we cannot see. We cannot see hell. But the Lord Jesus told us it exists. He warned against it. The book of Revelation is very clear about it. It's quite detailed. So it asked the reverend, why do you have a need for this? What gospel are you writing for yourself? What aspect of God's word are you violating that you so need it to not be true? Is it that of adultery? Same-sex activity, fornication, theft, coveting? What part are you violating, therefore, you're trying to lawyer around? Fancy lawyer games. Depends on what the meaning of the word is. Bill Clinton's famous response to having been caught in an extramarital affair where he was impressing his physical lusts upon a young woman who worshipped his office. Depends on what the meaning of is. So it asked the reverend that, like, what are you doing in your home life or your side life or your sex life or your financial life where you need the gospel to be changed? Is Jesus confounding? Yeah. Yeah. He's confounding. Because he is truth. It's not that he speaks truth. He is truth. That can be confounding. And there are really, really well-meaning people who I see just leaning over as far as they possibly can to the left to worship fake compassion. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are fake compassion because they're not just. Skin color cannot create diversity. That's simple chemical compounds, melanin level. Period. This is what diversity means, skin color. Not background, education, intelligence, language, art, culture, myth, family traditions, philosophies, skin color. That's not diversity, it's chemicals. Equity. Everybody deserves to start at the same place right now, according to us. Wait a minute. If everyone needs to start at the same place, how come you're the boss? Try that with a diversity person, an equity person. Okay, everyone needs to start at the same place, so my turn to lead, you get behind me. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. I'm the leader of the equity department. No, my turn. We're all leaders. There are no leaders. True equity would be, of course, absolute anarchy. True equity would mean we all lead or we all follow. We all need to be at the same place. Inclusion, as its modern interpretation is put across, is the opposite of inclusion. We need to include everybody but those people because they're not inclusive. But the fake compassion, the, let's say, approval of man, is very important to some people, even well-intended people. On the podcast of the creator VeggieTales, Phil Vischer and his friends lectured Matt Walsh, saying one cannot fight what they call the culture wars and follow the Sermon on the Mount. Funny thing, though, here's Phil Vischer fighting a culture war.
We went from thinking we were here to improve life on Earth until we bring about the millennium to thinking, no, actually the world is going to get worse and worse and worse, and then we're just going to get raptured out of here. So, you know, it's a little bit of left behind mentality that we're going to be rescued off this place. It doesn't really matter. It's our Airbnb. It doesn't really matter what shape we leave it in because it's not our house. This is not my home. This is not my home. I live in another land. And so I'm going to trash my hotel room. And then the other side of it is just, I think the profound influence of the petrochemical industry on Southern Christianity, because so much of the money in Texas and Louisiana and Mississippi is from the petrochemical industry, and those are the people in churches. So pastors don't want to preach against fossil fuels when fossil fuels are paying the bill. And so big business and cheap energy became part of the American dream. And the American dream is obviously biblical because the alternative is communism and socialism. So if America works because of oil and gas, and that's part of why we're where we are, then we were blessed by God to use all the oil and gas.
Culture war. Oh, wait, no. He's talking about science. He is? I didn't hear an equation. I didn't hear an observation. I didn't hear anything repeatable, observable, falsifiable. I heard his opinion that the petroleum industry is very, very bad. We need energy. Solar can't get it done. Solar can't heat cities. Not real cities. Solar has these problems like hailstorms coming and destroying $100 million worth of solar panels. Like destroying birds. Like being built using coal, which requires petrol. It's a culture war. Every bit as much as what he was criticizing Matt Walsh for, which is pointing out the utter emptiness, the bankruptcy, moral and spiritual, of the people who worship DEI. I don't know Phil Vischer. I don't like sitting here criticizing him. I know there's a lot of people who respect VeggieTales. I've never seen it. But I wonder what it is that Phil Vischer needs that he can't find in the Bible. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things I thought I needed that weren't in the Bible. I'm probably 1,000 times more guilty than Phil Vischer. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back under Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Man, we have script today. A lot of confession time. I should probably thank you for allowing me to sit here and confess. Appreciate you. We're supposed to do that. Not many people, I guess, do it a million people at a time. But I appreciate you. I know I'm in safe hands. I know that as people who follow Christ, we all recognize that we fall short. I believe everybody hearing this can relate in some way to sometimes having to have God say, hey, stop, or I'll stop you. You choose. There's a lot of things we didn't cover. And maybe we'll get to this Friday, although Friday seems like to be a pretty big show. So does Thursday. There is one thing I want to get to, and it is that the black vote, as it's called, there is a massive shift in this. And gosh, it makes sense because you could say there's a shifting of the parties. Republicans are now the anti-war party. Isn't that weird? What's happened? Do you think that Republicans have suddenly said, war is not the answer? All we are saying is give peace a chance. That had a catchy part of that song, John Lennon and Yoko Ono. But is that what's happened? War is not the answer. We're now code pink. War is never the answer. I don't think that's what's happened. I think a lot of Christians who tend to be conservative have noticed that the war machine is real. That the desire for always on war is an actual thing. That's not a conservative problem. After all, conservatives believe in limited government. That's a human problem. But the parties have shifted in this regard. The Democrats are simply shifting their loyalties. They don't really have loyalty. They have interest groups that keep them in power, and they're not being particularly hidden about the fact that black people are no longer the special people to them. That now it's the newcomers, the massive numbers of illegal immigrants who must be protected at all costs. That and the minority group that they, working with pharma, invented called transgender people who don't exist. No one is transgender. But they invented that minority group. Now they're importing another. And a lot of black people are feeling, well, left at the altar. Let's try to remember that phrase from the great book, Great Expectations. Jilted, jilted. So we're not special anymore. You never were. You were convenient. Now, I would hope that this would also come with a coming to the Lord Jesus. And primarily above everything is that. So I might offer to black listeners just this question. The Democrat Party lied to you for hundreds of years. Republicans have misused you. Who hasn't? Who promised freedom and will deliver? If not now, in an eternal sense, it's the unchanging, unchangeable God. And that since you feel that you're being lied to, you are. We all are. But the black vote is shifting. The Democrats saw it coming. They've no doubt been tracking this. They no doubt know what they're doing to the cities in service of the Cultural Revolution. And the city's urban areas are populated heavily by black people. So they had planned early on to get the newcomers to replace black people because they knew they were going to jilt them. To my point, music producer who calls himself Lord Jamar is unhappy at Barack Obama for lecturing him on how to vote.
I might just go around and vote for Trump. And this is my first time saying this out loud. But y'all think you're going to shame somebody or bully into voting for this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And now I'm going to be, now you're going to make me be Mr. Anti. You keep coming at me with this. You keep coming at me talking about, oh, it's a shame that you're not supporting a black woman. She's not black. She's Indian. She ain't black. Out of here. I don't give a. Trust me, the sentiment on the street in the real world is a lot of people are not with this woman. They see right through her and they're trying to blame it on black men. But no, I see a lot of black women that are not with her neither.
And you get the bleeps. I mean, there was no other way for us to get that message across. And the reason I want to get it across is because something has happened. A linchpin moment. Floodgates have opened. Now, to Republicans who see black people coming into the party, how about this? How about being grateful for an opportunity to actually talk about conservative values? And to Republicans, this. If you are not a Christian conservative, please hear me on this. Christian first, conservative second. You're not conservative. Please hear me. If you are a non-Christian conservative, what are you conserving? Your opinions. If you're not Christian, then the Bill of Rights is a limited value to you. It is. Because the Bill of Rights says our rights come from God. And the concept of our founder is the Christian God. Those rights came through their observation of Scripture in other societies, noticing that the first thing God gave us was life. And then liberty. Liberty, yeah. He gave us life, then he said, go ahead and eat from any of the trees, any of the fruits in the garden, except that one. Liberty. Liberty means freedom within bounds. Freedom means do whatever. Liberty, life, liberty. Pursuit of happiness. We could have chosen in the garden to pursue happiness by saying, gosh, what could make us happier than walking with God Almighty, our Creator? Oh, eat that fruit. That'll make us happy. He said not to. Yeah, what's he know? He's just God. To be truly conservative, you have to be conserving a government inspired by God with God-given rights. Otherwise, you are conserving your feelings, in which case you are, let's say, not conservative, you're emotive. You're a constitutionalist emotive. And the next person who has stronger emotions and better at persuading people, then their emotions win. Then there's also just the fact of your eternal life. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the tower babbling.
Now, no longer are you necessarily keeping those private files in some file cabinet that's locked in the basement of the house. It's on your laptop, and it's then therefore up here in this cloud that exists above us, right?
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. If Kamala knew Jesus, if she showed any signs of the fruit of the Spirit, this would be lovely. But since she's a power-seeking human robot, it's gibberish.
Because what we see is so hard to see that we lose faith or a vision of those things we cannot see but must know.
That's almost like the Lord Jesus saying to Thomas, the doubting Thomas, you see, so you believe. I say, blessed to you are those who have not seen and yet believe. But because Kamala Harris takes words that should really mean things in a potent sense, mixes them together and throws them out with no connection to anything in particular, you have to look at that and go, wait. Can you do that again, but stop and explain it? I mean, really get granular with us and explain it. And that's where you get the cackle. The It's not working. It's not working. People are seeing and sensing that, wow, I think she's super empty. Super empty. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's Joe Biden lying about the fire he and Jill had in one of their houses.
Well, I know from experience how devastating it is to lose your home. Several years ago, my home was struck by lightning. It didn't all burn down, but we were out of the home for 7 months while it was being repaired. The thing I was most concerned about was not just the home, was all those things, all those pictures I saved that my daughter had drawn when she was little, all the family photographs, all the albums, all the things that really matter.
So that was a kitchen fire, and it was put out in 20 minutes. So maybe out of the house for 7 months while you built another? He was speaking, by the way, to hurricane victims whose houses had been toppled, blown away, flooded, many of whom saw family members drowned with their own eyes, but he had a kitchen fire, so he can relate perfectly. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Here's utterly corrupt, clearly godless, impeached DHS boss Analeo Mayorkas. He's pretending Harris and Biden were not slow to respond to the hurricanes.
The Speaker of the House says FEMA has plenty of resources. They've been slow to respond, and that FEMA hasn't actually distributed the money. Can you clear that up?
FEMA has the money to address the immediate needs of individuals impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton. But we need Congress to act swiftly to fund FEMA and specifically its disaster relief fund, because hurricane season is not over.
Or you could stop spending $1 billion to secret away illegal immigrants in our country, which is not making the homeland secure. You could do that. You won't, because you are utterly, hopelessly, endlessly corrupt unless you drop to your knees and beg the Lord for forgiveness and agree to be changed by him. And I pray you do that. Sadly, I predict you won't, because truly, you have your reward. Fancy clothes and sushi. Enjoy that. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
Young black kids growing up in the Bronx who don't even know what the word a computer is. They don't know. They don't know these things.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note, I want to respond to an instant email I got during the show. This comes from Ronald. Dear Todd, I'm listening to you live right now on AFR, and I found your website and sent you this note. You told a story that does not belong on Christian radio about you having an emotional affair with another woman. I ask AFR to reconsider your time slot. This never should have been spoken. These are not things Christian men should speak of. I'm truly offended, much more so I was in the car with my daughter, who's 17, and I had to explain to her why it doesn't belong on Christian radio. I'm praying for you. I know you won't read this on the air, but I hope you'll think about it privately. Ronald. Brother, thank you for your concern. We must confess the human condition, particularly Christian men, because we have young men living in shadows. I'll tell you a story of the potency of shadows. Young men who live in the shadow, the onslaught of pornography. When I was at camp 2 years ago, I was with high school boys, older, able to consume things like the story I just told. And I shared with them temptations in life. They shared their temptations. We went on a walk one night. We got to break the rules once a night at camp. One week during camp, we get to break curfew. That night, I'd asked the boys throughout camp to gather rocks, stones, heavy enough for them to carry for multiple miles. Be hard work, but not impossible work. I carried that night a 95-pound sandbag. They carried stones. We got up to the top of the mountain, or the top of the walk, and I said, guys, drop your rocks. Here's the decision we can make. We can load a bunch of pebbles and rocks in our pockets, increase the weight we're carrying, and climb up the hill all the way to the tip top, or we can take this same weight down to the waterside. They chose to take it down to the waterside. Smart move. When we got down there, they found out why I had the spray paint. I said, I want you to spray the first letter of a sin with which you're struggling on that rock, and we're going to toss it into the lake and ask the Lord Jesus to cleanse it. There were seven boys. Three of them painted the letter P. Why? Pornography. They were confessing in a way they wouldn't have done if God hadn't led me to confess the struggles that men face. Women face them too. Brother, that's why I share these things, because Satan would prefer they stay in the dark. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. Until God decides we can all speak again together, may His peace watch over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.